There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
All right, 107 FM Talk, 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two. And lots to talk about this hour. I do want a little mea culpa before we get rolling here to whomever that was on the second floor. I'm sorry. So I was heading to the gambling machine. A lot of people call it a vending machine, but it's a gambling machine. Dalton can back me up. I mean, there's three of the machines up there, and there's not always, you put your money in, you may get a payoff of a snack or a beverage, or you may lose. You may lose. So I was doing my obsessive correct change thing, not because the light was on up there, but just because I have this obsession, which is kind of coming from drive-through lines. But I was counting in my nickels to have my 70 cents up there, and I ran into somebody. And I'm sorry. I did knock them clean the floor, but I was not paying attention to what I was doing. I was counting nickels, and ran into somebody. No, but it got me thinking about this thing. Just if and Dalton probably shed more light on this, but if you work in drive-through, what do you think about people paying exact change? Because it's like a weird thing that has started. It's been building over the years, but it's getting to a place, and maybe I'm just trying to get this off my chest, get this cleared up, that the longer I wait in a drive-through line, if I'm coming to pick whatever it is, I'm going to have exact change. I'm going to find pennies that are down under the floorboard, be back looking in the wherever my kids leave stuff in the little cup holder things in the back. The longer I sit in the drive-through line, the longer I sit there and stew, then I use that time with the truck in park to search around for every piece of change. So if it's whatever and 86 cents, probably $1.86 of it is going to be in nickels and pennies.
And then after that, how many times have you dropped change during that interchange between the driver's side window?
So many times. So I dropped the change. I'm going, because they'll take it like it's just the dollars. I said, but wait, there's
yes.
change.
Hold on. there's more.
Yes, be careful with your hands, because there's change coming.
Uh-huh.
And then
you always have to cup it.
Yes, you cup it, but yet you're in danger when you cup it of having the coin stick to your hand.
Mm.
Then you bring it back, and that's when it falls in that no man's land between the silvery edge of the drive-thru and the window of your vehicle.
You know, I appreciated when I did work in fast food, when I worked at McDonald's,
right,
and someone would take the time to give me the exact change.
You or, like that? Because I wonder, because I go, you know, they have to count out that I have, that $1.86 of that is in change.
Yeah, but at least then you're counting up. You can count 5 cents, 10 cents,
right,
15 cents. When someone wants you to give them money back, then you have to count backwards. Or usually, nowadays, it tells you exactly how much you need to give out. But still, either way, you're counting. The one that would always confuse most people was when
I did this today.
When you would pay enough that you get exactly a dollar back.
Right. Right, or I wanted to get a 10 back today.
Okay, yes.
And so I gave
him even a little bit more.
It was $10 and something, so I gave him $21.
Yes. Why are you giving me $21 when, well, I want an easy $10 bill back. I don't
right.
want a $5 bill and yeah. four ones.
Right, or like sometimes it looks like, you know, that the Bada Bing Club is mm-hmm. operating there at the convenience store and they hand it all back in crumpled ones,
yeah.
So I wanted that 10. You know, I wanted Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
And so I did that today, too. So I count out I'm just trying to get this off my chest, get it cleared out.
I always thought I was that guy, too, that would have perfect change most of the time. But then it's like I'll get hit in the head with a 2x4. I'll look down and I'll have like at least $8 worth of change. And have I been eating this much fast food?
Do you have that moment where you feel ashamed that you didn't, like you went through and you paid and got change back,
mm-hmm.
and then you realize,
what a stupid move. Yeah. I had 53 cents sitting right here in the cup holder.
Yeah, looks like I'll have to order a triple bacon burger tomorrow also to get some of this change out of here.
So in your case, though, you didn't mind the people that had the exact change.
No, I appreciated it.
Okay, well, good. Then I feel better about it because I was feeling guilty.
If too many of those people come through, then you end up with way too much change in your drawer, not enough bills sometimes.
See, but then I like when I give change too, and the cashier, somebody will go, wherever it is, convenience store, drive through, and they'll go, oh, thank goodness, I needed quarters, or oh, thank goodness, whatever the currency that I exchange when I go, let's go old school, like y'all's grandparents, when I traded with those folks, when I'm trading with those folks, when they get excited that they needed the coins that I gave them.
Oh, thank you.
Feel like not only did you get that change all gathered up, you took the big cattle drive of change across your truck and gave it to them, they're super, beyond just the price of the product, they're super appreciated by how you delivered it.
I love that. And, you know, one thing my friend said to me the other day, he was actually in a drive-thru. I think it was Chick-fil-A. I can't remember where he was. But they were doing that pay it forward, I guess pay it backwards through the drive-thru.
Yeah.
And he was told.
Sure, I like to be the last person in line.
Yeah, he was told, like, hey, somebody in front of you paid. He said, well, I'm going to go ahead and pay the person behind me, too.
That'll be $86.
Yeah, there have been a lot of people. So each person kept passing it back and paying for the person behind them.
If you did that, would you look behind to see if it was an SUV full of children?
Yeah, just to make sure. Actually, that's a construction crew that's been working all day. So congratulations. This is a $56 bill.
Oh, man. So good. Well, you've helped me deal with my guilt there. Dalton, thank you. We'll take your calls on that, too, and text at 343-0106. I'm seeing some activity here. I thought I was all alone in that. Maybe I'm not, and it's good. I'm now happy that people that like exact change. I thought it was going to be. I feel like I've really been bothered by this. I thought it was a bad thing. I feel really good, a lot better now. Okay, on the way, we'll take some more calls and talk about that Coleman County school system putting in God We Trust on their school building. Speaking of exact change, right, or some kind of change, we could have in God We Trust on it. Now Coleman County Schools will. Also, a story we mentioned this morning got a lot of people talking. Coca-Cola Company, or Toca-Cola, or whatever. Coca-Cola Company in talks with a cannabis producer, Aurora Cannabis, to create pot-infused drinks. I'll give you some details on this one coming up in just a little bit. We'll grab a call here before we go to the news break. And let's go to Tim in Mobile. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Hey, real quick, just a story on change. I'm a truck driver, so I'm going to El Paso, right?
Right.
I stop about an hour and a half away from El Paso, which basically is the middle of the desert. And I stop at this little mom-and-pop truck stop. Go in, and the guy has a sign that says, desperate need of pennies.
What?
I keep a container of change in my truck. So I had about $10 in pennies. And I went in and gave him the pennies. He goes, oh, man, thank you. Here's $10 back. What do you want to eat? We'll cook you whatever you want. Oh, it was the greatest thing.
This is good. So not only did you move on the pennies that you made that guy's day or his week.
Exactly, because they were, as they said, they were an hour and a half away from El Paso. It took them that long to go get pennies.
There it is. So you did the transport cost. Basically, you're trucking whatever else you were carrying. You were trucking those pennies, too, for them. That is good.
Yes.
Penny delivery service. Good. So I'm not alone. We're going to have a support group for those of us that have all that change. And by the way, Jace, I hear you. If it does make it home in my pocket, Jace says, meanwhile, I'm the guy that absolutely never spends coins. I'm the guy that if the coins do make it home in my pocket, they do have the special jar they go in to save. But still, don't give me time to count up exact change. You'd be surprised how far up I can count.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Can we switch to the song that Fred suggested? Something else to add? I mean, because this is perfect. It's perfect. Perfect intro coming out of my divulging my problem with change in the last break, and then what we're going to talk about with Angelo.
Here's it. All over town.
Oh, Bing Crosby, nice.
Be sure that your umbrella is up upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the thing you love, you must have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
There you go, Bing. Pennies from heaven. And if you're if I wait a long time to drive through line, there'll be pennies from Sullivan for you, not from heaven. Angelo, how would you if you got somebody came in with a collection of pennies from heaven, how would you value that?
That would be a really, really tough one. Somebody comes in with coins from provenance. They have a good story with them. Pennies from heaven, dimes from. Well, anyway, I'll try to behave there. How would that affect up on it? Sometimes the provenance itself makes the item worth a whole lot more than the item itself, because the story is what people are buying in on some of those things.
But you got
shipwreck coins we talked about.
Yeah.
That's the story that people want to hear.
Well, that's what's so cool. I was thinking about that, whether it's like the Roman coins y'all had or the shipwreck coins. Yeah, you've got something that does have a actual physical value in the precious metal, but then you have what goes with it, the subjective. That's how cool it is.
Well, exactly. And if you can prove some of these stories, I mean, think about it. You've held some of those Roman coins in your hand that are roughly 2,000 years old. Imagine if you could prove that was the coin that the guard was paid that put Christ on the cross. That would be priceless.
That would be
a priceless coin at that point in time. If you could prove that story, obviously we can't. You can't go back and document something from that far back, unfortunately. But there are other coins that we've had with amazing stories, amazing provenance here at the shop. And the provenance, the story that goes with that coin, is worth, in many instances, much more than the coin itself.
That's cool. And so people got to come in, check out the coins at Mobile Bay Coins, and get the story with the coin. And also, just let's talk about the objective value, too. You've been telling us it's a good time for precious metals to make that buy. As a buyer, we're in a good market. The deals are here.
Well, they certainly are. Silver hovering around $14 an ounce. It's starting to creep up again. But when you look at it, the last several years, the lowest silver's been has been around $14 an ounce. So we're at the low point right now. And they always tell you, buy low, sell high. So this is definitely a buyer's market.
There it is. Okay, let's talk about coming in, checking out, precious metal with provenance or just precious metal with a great deal. How do we find you, and can we go online and look at your inventory?
Yeah, we are in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590. Or if you want to look at some cool pictures of these things we're talking about, go on to Facebook and look up and follow Mobile Bay Coins there.
All right. Hey, just a suggestion. I mean, I'm not your producer, but, maybe a segment on Two Guys and Some Change you could do behind the coin. Like the extra story. You bring the coin up and then, behind the music, but behind the coin, and you give us the story, the provenance.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We've already recording last week or this week's show coming up, but next week I'll be sure to do that song.
All right, Angelo. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. By the way, too, good for you. Texter said, talking about the pay it forward thing. Dalton, I guess you saw that from the text line. People behind me at Waffle House, it was three elderly ladies. One of them, it was her birthday. That day I snuck the waitress off, asked her to give me their bill, which was about $43. They were totally surprised, and I remained anonymous. Waitress never told on it. Good. That's the stuff that warms souls, right? He said also the birthday lady, or she, I don't know who he or she texted me, birthday lady turned 97 that day. Let's see here. Oh, and thank you. Gamecock Girl is going to be, Dalton, you see that? She and I are going to be the founding members of the Pay With Exact Change Anonymous meetings where we go in and deal with our problems, because she sounds like she has it even worse than I do about the obsession with paying with exact change. There's hope for us, Gamecock Girl. There is. All right, 126 FM Talk 106.5. Story if you didn't catch it this morning. And this is right now in the kind of, well, they're doing something, people are reporting on it, but the company is not qualifying it with a response. Story comes from thehill.com, okay? So, I mean, fairly reputable source here. It's not like I got some story from some source out there that's not named. But The Hill says Coca-Cola is in talks with cannabis producer Aurora Cannabis to create pot-infused drinks, according to BNN Bloomberg, who cites multiple sources reporting today that the two companies are in, quote, serious talks, end quote, to develop the drink. The companies would likely create a beverage that would, quote, see, this is not like an old tonic. This is like a snake oil tonic. It would ease inflammation, pain, and cramping, end quote. Although those are things that have been related to using cannabis, right, from a medical perspective. Kent Landers, spokesman for Coca-Cola, declined comment, but said in an emailed statement that Coca-Cola is, quote, closely watching the growth of non-psychoactive CBD. So cannabinoid oils, right? And that is what the research, by the way, kind of interesting. The research for a lot of the cannabinoid oils was done right here in the state of Alabama, up in Birmingham. You have, you know, the use of it to prevent seizures in children. And y'all know where I stand. If you're new to the show, if they can show that it helps people as medicine, and you're going to get in the way of marijuana for medicine, I don't find that. I realize a lot of places prescribing or having medical marijuana is a transition into recreational? Sure it is, of course. But if you can help somebody with something that has no psychoactive, why there's any delay on things like cannabinoid oil, I do not know. There's not here. Legislature 2 years ago, 3 years ago, passed a law. That's good. Because if it's, nobody's getting high from this stuff and it is helping people, then, you know, shut the front door and let the medicine be, you know. So they go on to say here, along with many others, and the Coca-Cola spokesperson said, along with many others in the beverage industry, we are closely watching the growth of non-psychoactive CBD as an ingredient in function wellness beverages around the world. I like the fact that somebody has sat down and said, what do we call this? Hey, what are we going to call these beverages? Let's call them functional wellness beverages. Oh, that's good. FWBs. Coca-Cola spokesman went on to say, the space is evolving quickly. No decisions have been made at this time, end quote. In other words, let me translate. Coca-Cola company sees other people getting into it. They want to make sure they get their share, so they're moving along, which is, from a business aspect, if you're a shareholder, you would want them to do that. You would want them to make sure, if there's going to be that market there, that they're well represented. Now, Heather McGregor, spokeswoman for Aurora. Now, Aurora, remember, that is the cannabis company that in the story is teaming up with Coca-Cola to make this drink. Yes, Toca-Cola is one of the names that was come up, that people came up with this morning. So we'll call it Toca-Cola is going to be their product. So Heather McGregor, who is a spokeswoman for Aurora, the company that was going to partner with Coke, says Aurora has interest in the infused beverage market. Now, Dalton, I don't know if we're going to go with functional wellness beverages or infused beverages. I'm not still working on that. And Aurora says they intend to enter that sector. Now, they have declined to comment specifically with whether they have a deal with Coca-Cola. She went on to say, as a rule, we do not discuss business development initiatives until they're finalized. However, we have a responsibility to our shareholders to give proper consideration to all relevant opportunities that are presented. Have we checked what Aurora's stock Aurora, and Dalton, maybe you can do this with me because I'm typing and talking here, but the Aurora, what is it, CBD, and what their stock ticker is. Of course, you know, I'm always interested in what the market thinks. So, let's see. There's the company. I see that, but how about the stock? So, with the stock, let's see. You got this?
Like ACBFF.
Oh, of course. Rolled off the tip of my tongue.
Today they're up 18.2% to $7.71.
I should have gotten online at the end of the morning show. How much did they come up today?
Looks like it's been an 18% rise. 18.24%. Yes.
I would not have been so sleepy this morning, that's the first thing I would have done when we got off there at 9, is I'd have logged on. On your computer, probably. Not on the front computer. And I would have made the play for some Aurora.
Yeah, I think that's all today, right around 18% jump. That's pretty good.
So what's the market think, huh? There you go. And did you know that we now that the functional wellness beverage. FWBs, man.
I should have known.
It's a whole new world.
Acronyms.
All right. Coming right back. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5. What's the disclaimer? No stock tip ever coming through Midday Mobile should be acted upon. It is just interesting. Looked at, though, if you look at the... give me just a second, y'all. I'll get back to, you know, just overly simplistic politics and, lock her up or lock him up, all that stuff y'all want to talk about. But it is interesting to look at a year to date for this Aurora Cannabis. They were up as high as $11 a share at the beginning of the year, and then really took it on the chin and were down as far as $4 a share, and now on the rebound with that discussion, they could be part of the FWB with Coca-Cola. And yes, I understand, right, Dad, people on the text line, and we talked about it this morning, I do understand the, it's not irony, but the comedy of the fact that, of course, Coca-Cola started off as, infused with a drug, right? Cocaine. It cured everything. Like somebody said, of course it did. They were high on cocaine. They were, oh, give me some more of that. I feel fine now, right? So the original Coke was with cocaine. Thank you, Mike. And that was from Mike from Sip and Chew. He would know his beverages. But now marijuana Coke, you know, would be something different. Or as they said, the FWB. We're going to be hearing these acronyms. And why not? If you got a state where recreational marijuana is legal for them to smoke it or eat it in a Danish or whatever you do there, then why not drink it up? Okay, this one here, interesting. Hi, my son. Hey, Sean, my son runs a vending machine business. One day the bank called asking him if he had any ones they could buy from him, like $1 bills. He said his deposits are usually $1 bills and leave change. I thought it was funny. The bank called him looking for ones. Huh. Interesting. Yes, Jace, FWB, as acronyms go. So now they're friends with benefits. with Coke. Fred says, yeah, no more cannabis stock available. Someone bogarted it. Listen, y'all can keep the weed jokes going forever because they do amuse me. Let's see. Oh, before I get to I do want to get that Amazon story. And then this another story you're going to be hearing about later this week, but I'll give it to you today here. First, though, Amazon, did you see the Amazon sellers are reportedly bribing staff to take down bad reviews? This is the makings. This is the new makings of a grift. That, and I don't even know if it's new. I'd say it's within the last decade or so, that I remember when they had the discussion of so many of those websites where you leave the opinions and you know, you go on and rate a restaurant or rate a product, right? And the things are up there, the reviews are up there forever, and it could be your competitor, it could be somebody who's just a jerk, it could be accurate, but they're up there. And I said, you know, I wonder... actually, there was a story out that a company was taking money as a company to, like, eliminate those bad reviews. Then Wired, Wired.com, it's a tech publication, has this out on their Monday briefing. It said, Amazon sellers are reportedly bribing staff to take down bad reviews. And I'm sorry to go off on too many tangents, but number one, there are some hilarious reviews on Amazon. There were people... review a product and have some incredible sense of humor. Just Google that and find some of the reviews have nothing to do with the product, or the reviewer makes a claim like it's toothpaste and say, after I brushed my teeth with this toothpaste, I all of a sudden, you know, increased my IQ by 35 points. Funny stuff out there. But Wired magazine says Amazon.com is investigating reports of brokers bribing employees to change site content. Now, here, this is like a whole nother racket. Don't you know there's a mobster out there going, hey, how did we not get into this? Here it is. Amazon's investigating reports of brokers bribing employees to change site content Google's Chinese search engine prototype reportedly links the search. Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Okay, so Amazon investigating that sellers are bribing Amazon staff to take down bad review. They've opened an internal bribery investigation following reports that a cottage industry has sprung up around Amazon employees prepared to delete negative reviews and restore banned accounts on the site for a fee. You know, a little action. Wet your beak. First reported by the Wall Street Journal, the practice is reportedly facilitated by a network of brokers, often working for sellers in China, who approach Amazon employees and offer them payments ranging from $80 to over $2,000. In a statement, Amazon said, "We hold our employees to high ethical standard, and anyone in violation of our code faces discipline, including termination and potential legal and criminal penalties. In addition, we have zero tolerance for abuse of our systems, and we find bad actors who have engaged in this behavior. We will take swift action against them." Now, this is true whether, I mean, you go back in history before the technology was there, this kind of behavior is part of the human condition. Part of the, I mean, it's at the local government level where somebody, you know, hey, I need something from somebody in some department and bureaucracy, and I take them on a trip, or, you know, pay for their dinner or do whatever it is so I could have a little, I can get a, like a Disney World speed pass into that part of government, right? Whether it's something, records or maps or something like that, you help them out so they help you out. I mean, it's been going on forever. But in the world now of online reviews, and it's nothing brand new, but you had to, this was, I'm surprised it took this long, or at least it's taken this long for them to catch some people doing it. If you're one of the people that has access to those, hey, if you can make a little extra cash by just deleting some review that was negative, let's say they pay, it said between $80 and $2,000, but if a big enough company, a negative review could cost you $2,000 in a day's business, heck, in an hour's business. So it's worth spending $2,000 to get rid of it. But yeah, so this is like a, this is a new grift happening here. So watch for that as you have, if you put a negative review up and it disappeared sometime. Now, I would say this too. There's people on the web, and Lord knows, I'm on the web all day, but there are people that are real tough guys and gals on the web, because they hide behind a screen. And I mean, we're people that are fully involved in the digital world. This radio station and our products on digital platforms, I'm fully engaged in, but I also can call it out and say there are a bunch of, you know, people that are paper dragons out there on the web that just hate everything. But if those kind of reviews, if you put a review up and you were honest about it, and then it just disappeared, maybe you need to go check and see if you were, you know, maybe you're part of this. I'll tell you what, I'll put the whole story up over on my Twitter feed, unless they ban me over there, at FM Talk 106.5. But it is interesting, if you go back and look through, if you put a real, not like a very negative review, but a real honest accounting negative review up, and it disappeared somewhere, especially Amazon here from this case, maybe that's what happened. So you can read the full story at FM Talk 106.5 on my Twitter feed. All right, and then this story is the one I think there'll be a lot of talk about going on later in the week. It's not been really put together in a news story. It's come out in a couple of journals and medical pages today, and it says this is from the Journal of Pediatrics. I know, a page turner, right? The AAP providing comprehensive care for transgendered youth. All right. And this story from Kristen Monaco says transgendered youth should have access to comprehensive gender-affirming health care, said the American Academy of Pediatrics in a new policy statement. Okay, American Academy of Pediatrics put this out, said children and adolescents who identify as transgender and gender diverse often face health-related disparities, such as barriers to quality care and mental health resources, which can put their overall health at risk. Now, they named the study and the physicians behind it, or the researchers behind this, and they said the AAP Committee on Psychosocial Aspects of Child and Family Health, Adolescent, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Health, and Wellness, the document AAP's first policy statement on the topic, says, recommends that pediatricians, y'all, provide a safe and inclusive clinical space for these individuals. In order to provide this care, though, the authors write, it must start with proper medical education throughout medical school residency. Okay, so that's a part for them. They go on here and say, at the center of this care is a social support for the child. Pediatricians not only have a role in advocating for, but educating and developing a liaison relationship with school districts and other community organizations to promote acceptance and inclusion of all children without fear of harassment, exclusion, bullying. So they're compelling in this document physicians to become the advocates to the school system, which I don't know if that's, I mean, is that part of the job? Maybe it is. Maybe it'd be like a physician saying don't smoke or something like that. But they go on in this and they talk about the things that young children. That if the children come to the physicians saying they experience, I don't know, the feelings or whatever here, that the physicians have a responsibility to step in for asserted gender identity for the children. I mean, I think if I'm a physician, I throw my hands up. You're going to put them in this position to have to be a liaison and advocate? Because, I mean, they're now going to be a social worker, right? In some degree. Says family inclusion and support is vital to the overall well-being of transgender and gender-diverse youth, and family-based therapy is an ideal resource for not only transgender adolescent, but also the parents, caregivers, and siblings. He said, Dr. Cora Bruner said, we encourage families, schools, and communities to value every child for who they are in the present, even at a young age. As pediatricians and parents, we also appreciate how challenging at times and confusing it can be for family members to realize their child's experience and feelings. Wow, you have to deal with that as a physician. And y'all could have it. Y'all got a tough job as it is. And there you go. All right, coming back. Yes, Randall, we will talk about, I am going to finish up the squirrel migration story as well when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is
The Clock is Ticking
with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I guess October Crude was the working title for GNR's November Rain, and they went with November Rain instead of October Crude, I guess. 150 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. And feels so good. Feels so good to know that y'all are just as demented as I am. Because, I mean, the people that have given me positive feedback for my obsession with correct change at the drive-thru, y'all made me feel better. Then there's a bunch of y'all on the text line that have also read the amusing Amazon reviews. I'm not talking about the negative ones where people are just being jerks to be jerks. I'm saying where people show some creativity and are funny. They're reviewing like whatever it is. You know, it's a trampoline, and they talk about how the trampoline gave them the ability to conquer tall buildings. Whatever it is, there's some funny people get on those reviews, but it is kind of a different world if people are paying the Amazon employees to take down the bad reviews. Also, no, I have not. Eric said, if you haven't already, you need to read the reviews on sugar-free gummy bears. Okay, I'll look at that one. Oh, also, yes, this is the kind of stuff. I saw a review one time for a travel agency about a trip to a beach resort. They said the beach was too sandy. You're right, Mike. That's the kind of stuff. There are people that are just like sport jerks out there on the web, and don't back it up. All right, I want to get to Randall's call because I mentioned it this morning. There's a WKRG story about squirrels in the Northeast rampaging agricultural crops because they had a big acorn crop. You know, acorns come and go. You have a big year and a low year. You have cycles. Different oak trees, different species have big acorn crops, and then maybe the next year not so much, and then it comes back, and sometimes it's on a year-to-year cycle, sometimes it's on a three-year, four-year cycle. It's nature doing its thing. And last year in the Northeast, I guess they had a bunch of acorns, and the squirrels did what squirrels do, right? And there were a lot of squirrels based on the amount of food they had. Well, this year, the acorn crop failed. There's a bunch of squirrels. They're eating through farmers' crops. That was the original story that popped up from the AP, and the folks over at News 5 put that story up. And I just mentioned the backstory that is probably not talked about in the newsrooms across the country, that these squirrels, while they're rampaging agricultural crops, in the history of our country, we've had squirrels facing the same situation that have gone on migrations to go find food, like wildebeest across the Maasai Mara, right? Like herds of plains game moving from place to place to go find the best feed. Squirrels, as recently, well, somebody said there was a small one of these back in the early 2000s, but squirrel migrations have taken place. I know a big one, 1968, but I dug a little deeper in the history here. They said squirrel migrations across the upper Midwest, New England, and the Carolinas were observed in 1809, 1819, 1842, 1852, 1856, just to name a few of the oldies here. And y'all, some of the newspaper accounts from the day when this happened in 1968 said the squirrels were pouring out of the Smoky Mountains looking for feed. Of course, all I can picture is like one of the zombie movies. Randall's been holding on in Mobile, wants to talk about squirrel migration. Have you witnessed this before? Have you seen some squirrel migration?
Yes, I did, Sean. I was there in 1968. I was born in East Tennessee. I lived in Cumberland County up in Crossville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I was 13 years old. I was born in 55. So I was 13 and able to get out and hunt on my own. But my dad took me that year. He said, son, we got to go kill some squirrels. And this is funny. But I mean, seriously, they ate the cornfields down.
Oh, okay. So help me picture this.
Begging people to come in and kill them.
Picture that. So help me picture this. Randall, did they, like, okay, they come to a cornfield. Were the squirrels coming in, crawling up the corn stalks, and eating the ears off the corn stalks?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what they were doing. But a little funny little backstory to that, there was, my dad worked at a place called Turner Day and Woolworth. It's a handle corporation where they built hammer handles, axe handles, that kind of stuff.
Right.
They turned them. And I guess they probably had a septic tank back there or something, but there was a black walnut tree in the field lines, pretty good sized tree.
Right.
It was the only tree that I know of in that county at that time that had any mast on it that year. And my dad personally killed over 100 squirrels with a .22 pistol.
You are kidding me.
Now, there's no telling how many squirrels was killed out of that tree.
But just one single tree.
Yes, sir.
Would you see them like, Randall? Oh, I'm so obsessed. And if we hit the end of the hour, I'm going to have you hold on because I got a bunch of questions for you. Did you
Okay. Did
you see them? Like, I have the accounts where they were, you know, coming across the roads, getting run over at a higher than normal level.
Yeah.
They were drowned in like Fontana Lake. They said a bunch drowned trying to go through the lake. Did you see them moving like that?
Yes, sir. We saw them doing that. Probably, I know in Louisiana, every now and then you'll get a flood. And, you know, a lot of the crawfish will cross the road, and there'll
right.
be a bunch of crawfish flattened out on the road. We saw squirrels like that. There were squirrels dead everywhere.
This is something that I'm so happy you're telling your story on this, because, like, when the news story came out, it's like we don't remember our history, and it's fascinating. This has happened before, and I guess it
yes.
could happen this year if they eat through all those crops. So y'all were getting squirrels that were coming from, I mean, I guess up in the mountains, coming down to where there's agriculture, right? They're all leaving, and do they go tree to
right.
tree? Are they on the ground, or, I mean, how do they approach?
Yeah, they just coming through the trees, through the ground, whatever, because there was no mast that year, no acorns, no hickory nuts, nothing for them to eat. And they came to town, literally, and ate stuff off the fruit trees. People couldn't keep their apples on the trees.
Holy cow.
Cornfields, they took everything off.
Can you imagine calling the insurance man, you know, crop insurance,
yeah.
say, what happened? What why y'all? I'm gonna need some terms here. Why the squirrels got my crop?
True.
Holy cow, Randall! This was what year? Was it 68 that you saw it?
68, yes, sir. I was 13.
Well, this could be lining up again. It sounds like areas, I don't know if it'll be as bad here, because the mast crop has been okay, and we have so many different species that, at least on our place, it's looked okay. It's not a bumper year on most of it, but we have some. But I think about somewhere like the Smokies, you know, where you have huge blocks of woods without agriculture in them, like the park, and if that mast crop fails, they got nothing. They're coming for you.
There's an old wives' tale up there, and I'm not sure how true it is. They say that happens every 14 to 17 years.
That's the cycle.
So I don't. Yes, and I don't know that for sure. I don't know if that can be scientifically proven, but I know that, you know, the locusts go in the ground, and they come out every 17 years.
Right.
Like Acadians.
Yeah.
And
then you get different waves of them.
There's something to it.
Yeah, there is. And it seems like the formula, of course, you have to have a big mass crop the year before, so their numbers, right, you know, are higher than normal, and then you have to have a failure the following year. Okay, let's do that. I'm right up against the break. I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second, Randall, because this is... I got to get back in touch with you and ask you about, I don't know, I'll keep it under 25 questions on that. But this, see, y'all, I told you, and there's Randall who witnessed it himself. Massive squirrel migrations. This is a thing. It's one of the many things that's something to mull over at the dinner table tonight when you see those squirrels in the backyard. Just think they could be coming for you next. Speaking of next, Feinbaum is on the way. Y'all have a great one.